big reason why I chose to be here. Got the right guys, the right coaching staff. But it's like I said, just taking it one day at a time.
Floats for Wilson, off target to Kobe Bryant. And there goes Kobe Bryant with a house call for Seattle and a Marshawn Lynch homage.
There's so much history in this building. As soon as you walk in, man, it's like, okay, man, if this, I'm on the tail end of my career, you know what I'm saying, later in my years, man, to be able to play for an organization like this, with this kind of people that has this kind of resounding positivity coming throughout the league, being able to play here, it's a great opportunity for me.
Take it out to 45, Khalif Raymond, across midfield, still going, one man to beat, it's the punt for Marquez. Touchdown, Khalif Raymond.
When the negotiations started, Bears came on pretty strong, and that's kind of when everything kind of took off.
Release has it deflected, it's intercepted, and the Browns may have a chance for a pick six. Bush, he's got a one man to beat. He's looking for Myles Garrett for some help. He got some help, and Devin Bush will score.
And now it's time for Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Hell yeah, let's go. It is a Friday night. I am Rami Makhlouf with you for the next 3 hours. Nothing gets me more fired up, more pumped up for a lift, for a shift, whatever it is, than Rage Against the Machine and Bulls on Parade. Like I said, I'm with you for the next 3 hours, and a jam-packed show we have for you this evening, including plenty of Cubs talk throughout the show. Evan Altman of Cubs Insider, he'll be here at 7:25. Score Baseball Insider, Bruce Levine, will be here at 8 o'clock. We will, of course, keep you updated on the NCAA tournament, so you can check your bracket throughout the next 3 hours, and much more between now and then. I am going to start with some Bears talk here at the top. I want you to get in. Whole first hour was left open, and it was left open for you, the Score listener, the Bears fan, at 312-644-6767. And the young man who put together that open, who is on the other side of the glass for me tonight, is producer Grant Leader. Grant, how are you this evening? Great job on the open, my man.
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Good. I told you before I turned the mic on, there's a new policy when Rami Makhlouf hosts the Score Evening Show here on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Some of you may know, some of you may not. I also host a daily show on our sister station, The Fan, up in Milwaukee. Fear not, if you are new to Rami Makhlouf, I am one of you. I am born and bred in Chicago, true blue Cubs, Bears, Bulls fan, like you name it. I'm all Chicago. That's a job, and I enjoy it, but the teams that I root for are right here in the city of Chicago. But it can be challenging, Grant, hosting two radio shows in one day, and I often give out the wrong phone numbers. I've even given out the wrong station as I was going into
That's not good.
So for some accountability and to get better, Grant, whenever I make a mistake like that here on the show, not any mistake, just if I confuse what I'm doing here with what I do in Milwaukee, if I give out the wrong numbers, if I give out the wrong station, anything along those lines, $5 right to your Venmo, Grant Leader. Venmo.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I just sent $5 to Baby T for the last shift I work, and I forgot to get him for a screw up I had on that one. So keep your ears open. Keep your ears open, Grant Leader, and listeners, Score listeners, feel free to snitch on me if Grant doesn't catch it. Like if it just slips by him that I gave out the wrong phone numbers, you can text 312-644-6767. Throw me right under the bus and hold me accountable, and it'll be $5 right into Grant Leader's Venmo.
I got you, Rami.
All right. I appreciate it. Like I said, I want to talk some Bears off the top, and some of you might be like, why? What happened with the Bears? Like, there is no new news with the Chicago Bears, is there? We're 2 weeks into free agency. We are months away from, well, I guess a month away from the NFL draft. Why is Rami starting the show talking about the Bears? And I'll tell you why I'm starting the show talking about the Bears. I was here on day one, well, the unofficial day one of free agency when the legal tampering period opened, and I talked about the moves that they made that day, and I thought it was a good start. I thought it was a good start. Little did I know that was like most of what they do. And since then, I haven't had a chance to get on this mic, to get on these airwaves, and talk about what I've seen, or more specifically, what I haven't seen since then. And the dialogue, the narrative, the chatter around the Chicago Bears, which has me feeling like one of two things is happening. And it's from people I like and respect their football acumen. I'm not even going to name any names because they're all over the place. Some of them are right here on the Score. Some of them are writers for local outlets that cover the team. Some of them are writers and pundits that work for national outlets and talk about the Chicago Bears or write about the Chicago Bears. And the vibe is very positive and very good. Oh, and some of them are in a group chat with my brother and some mutual friends who also happen to be Chicago Bears fans. And again, it's positive. And I feel like either I'm taking crazy pills or other people are drinking the Bears Kool-Aid. Like, one of those two things seems to be happening in the first 2 weeks of free agency. And I'm going to put this disclaimer on it at the top so you don't have to text me and go, well, there's still 6 months left in free. I know. There's still 6 months left in the offseason, and there's more free agency to come, and there's an NFL draft to come. I get it. I understand. There is time to remedy what I'm about to talk about, but I'm just talking about what I've seen so far. And to be honest with you, to be real with you, I don't love it. Not that I don't like any of the moves, just the big picture, I don't like much of what I've seen. So just like quickly to set it up, and again, I know there's 6 more months of offseason. I know. You don't have to tell me that. And if the narrative, like if things change, my opinion will change. My stance will change. I will move off of this position. But as we sit here today on March 20th, this is just quick inventory, quick audit, what the Chicago Bears have done in the first 2 weeks of free agency. Gone are DJ Moore, Drew Dalman, Tremaine Edmonds, Kevin Byard, Jaquan Brisker, Nation Wright, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Olamide Zaccheaus, Durham Smythe, Devin Duvernay, Chris Williams, Andrew Billings, Jonathan Owens, Dominique Robinson, all gone, all playing somewhere else in 2026. Coming in are Kobe Bryant, Garrett Bradbury, Devin Bush, Jack Sanborn, Neville Gallimore, Kentavious Street, James Lynch, Cam Lewis, and Khalif Raymond. Okay, so that's like, again, quick audit inventory of what the Chicago Bears have done. They also brought back Braxton Jones. That's one of the guys that they retained. So that's what's happened. That's what's transpired in the first approximately 2 weeks of free agency. And I see more lost than I see gained. To this point, as we sit here on March 20th, I see more lost than I see gained. And like I said, I don't feel like that's the general consensus or feeling or vibe or narrative around this Bears team. And just to sort of give you an idea, I have this article from Bears Wire up in front of me right now. And they went around the NFL world and the people who cover the sport and just gave the grades that the Bears have gotten in this first wave of free agency. Pro Football Focus gave them a B. CBS Sports gave them a B. Yahoo Sports gave them a B. NBC Sports gave them an A. Sporting News gave them a B+. Pro Football Sports Network gave them an A-. So it's all A's and B's. All A's and B's for the Chicago Bears, and I don't see it that way. If I was going to put a grade on it, like C-, at best, C-. And I'll explain why while you guys get on the phones or shoot me the text at 312-644-6767. Jump on, want to talk Bears with you here on the Score Evening Show on 104.3 The Score, Robbie Maklouf with you on a Friday night. And I'll start on the offense because I think there's less problems there than there are on the defensive side of the ball. And that's sort of where we started the offseason. But I don't think a lot was done to remedy that. As a matter of fact, I think the problem has been worsened by what the Bears have done on both sides of the football. So Braxton Jones is back. He's going to compete with Jedrick Willis Jr. and Kieran Amagaje for the left tackle spot. So no upgrade there. As a matter of fact, it's a downgrade at left tackle. Braxton Jones is competing with a guy who hasn't played NFL football since 2024. You made a downgrade at center. You got good value for DJ Moore, but that doesn't scream win now move to me. Like, draft picks are not win now moves, and you're now not as deep at wide receiver. And when I say draft picks are not win now moves, people are going, well, look at what happened last year. You got four guys that came in and affected winning immediately. And I understand that that's more the exception than the rule for the NFL, and especially for the Chicago Bears. That is more the exception than the rule that you would get that kind of draft class to come in and have that kind of impact. So I think you got worse on the offensive line, and I think you got worse in terms of your offensive depth, or your wide receiver depth, I should say, specifically. So I don't know how you got better on the offensive side of the ball. And then when we get to defense, jump in on the conversation at 312-644-6767. The pass rush, still not addressed, guys. The worst part of this defense last year and the worst part of this team last year, still not addressed. As of right now, it's Montez Sweat, Deo Odengbo, and Austin Booker as your three primary players on the edge rushing quarterbacks. You do have Shamar Turner, who's going to be entering his second year and coming off a torn ACL. We have no idea what to expect from Shamar Turner. We know what to expect from those three guys, and it's not a whole lot. Austin Booker came on pretty strong in towards the end of the season. Montez Sweat made some big plays, but not nearly consistent enough for like your number one edge rusher. So pass rush, still not really addressed. The middle of the defensive line, you went and got Gallimore, you went and got Street, neither of those guys does a whole lot for me, or I think does a whole lot to upgrade the Bears on the interior of their defensive line. And then I moved to the secondary. And look, this is kind of like what I said about the wide receiver position when you look at the cornerbacks. Yeah, you got Jalen Johnson, you got Kyler Gordon, Terrell Smith will be back, he showed some promise, and Tariq Stevenson will be back. The Bears didn't seem to even trust Tariq Stevenson again by the end of next year, but you got like the top of the depth chart filled out. Like I said, just like with wide receiver, you got the top of the depth chart filled out, and I feel pretty good about those guys at the top of the depth chart. But where is the depth at the cornerback position, which is a position where, as much as any other position in the NFL, you need depth, because you might have five or six of those guys out on the field at any given time. And right now you have maybe three guys that you can count on, and you know what you're going to get from them. And that's assuming Jalen Johnson returns to like peak Jalen Johnson form, which I don't think we saw at any point last year coming off the groin injury that he suffered. Moving to linebacker, I like the Devin Bush signing. I do. I think that's one place where I go, maybe a slight upgrade. Maybe a slight upgrade going from Tremaine Edmonds to Devin Bush. And DeMarco Jackson, very good in coverage. It looks like he's going to be the starter at least until TJ Edwards is back, and maybe beyond that. I don't expect Noah Sewell to be back at any point next season. 18 of the 23 interceptions and 23 of the 33 turnovers that this Bears defense thrived on last year, are gone. And I've been saying since the season ended, you can't count on that many turnovers again. You got to be better at like the basics of defense, at assignment, at tackling, at coverage, just being faster and getting to your spot faster. Like you got to be better at those things, and you can't count on the turnovers. But did they get better at any of those other things that I just talked about? Did they get better at tackling, at coverage? Where did they get better? And how on earth, with everything that I just said, are they getting A's and B's and praise and everybody acting like everything is all hunky-dory through 2 weeks of free agency? I do not get it. I do not get it. And like I said at the top, I feel like either I'm taking crazy pills or a lot of other people are drinking the Bears Kool-Aid. Which one is it? 312-644-6767. And the funny thing is, like, even some of these outlets that I mentioned that gave out these grades of A and B to the Chicago Bears for what they've done in the first wave of free agency, they seem to poke holes in their own case with some of their breakdowns. Like, I'm looking at Pro Football Focus's breakdown of the Kobe Bryant signing. He had a 68 PFF coverage grade in 2024 and 67.2 in 2025, powered by 4 interceptions and 4 pass breakups this season. The one concern is that he has missed a lot of tackles, leading to a career-worst 18.7% missed tackle rate in 2025. They got worse. And I like the Kobe Bryant signing, but as far as tackling goes, you got worse. And how do you expect the safety position to be better in terms of coverage when you just let the guy go who led the NFL in interceptions and you haven't even signed the guy who's going to play safety across from him? Like, I don't expect every move in terms of where the Bears are going to get better to happen in the first 2 weeks of free agency. I don't. I understand there is more time. There is more time. I understand that, and I'm going to keep on harping on that just because I don't want the calls and the texts of people who are just tuning in and going, "What is this guy talking about?" There's plenty of time. The first wave of free agency is your best opportunity, not your only opportunity. And look, Nashawn Wright was a flyer. There were other guys who they took flyers on last. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a flyer, and both those guys like performed at a higher level than you'd expect a flyer to perform. So maybe there are more of those coming. But as far as known commodities, getting known commodities of players that you know are going to come in here. Well, I guess you can't say you know. Like, everything is uncertain in the NFL. But who you can have a pretty high level of confidence that are going to come in here and be better than the guy that they're replacing. The first wave of free agency is your best opportunity to do that. And I don't know that they've done that at any position. Maybe at linebacker. Is Kobe Bryant going to be better than what Kevin Byard was last year? I find that hard to believe. Now, he's younger, but is he going to be better? He might be as good, but is he going to be better than the guy who was arguably the best safety in the league last year? That's a high bar to clear. And yes, he's younger. Yes, he'll have him for 3 years, and the cliff is probably coming for Kevin Byard sometime in the next 2 to 3 years. I understand that. But when you're in a win-now window, which the Bears opened that window last year, every offseason should be about maximizing the next season and doing everything you can. Not without an eye on the future. You always have to have an eye on the future. But every offseason, when you're in a win-now window, should be about maximizing the next season, especially when you're in the rookie quarterback contract window. The golden ticket to winning Super Bowls in the NFL. And I was listening to Spiegel and Holmes on the way in, and you have Kevin Byard saying that Caleb Williams might be the most talented quarterback, not only that he's ever played with, that he's ever seen. You got that guy on a rookie contract, and I don't think you're doing everything you can, at least in the first 2 weeks of free agency, to maximize 2026 and give yourself the best chance you can at winning a Super Bowl. And yeah, they got plenty of picks with the DJ Moore trade and the Bills' second-round pick now in hand. You have 25, 57, 60, 80, and 129 all in the top 4 rounds. That's great. That's awesome. And I hope they hit on most of those, if not all of them. That would be great. But I'll go back to what I said earlier. I don't expect what I got last year from the rookie class, and I certainly don't expect it on the defensive side of the ball, because Ben Johnson doesn't coach defense. I think Ben Johnson can make up for some of the losses, some of the holes created with the stuff I talked about on offense, because he's that good a coach, that good a play caller. Ben Johnson doesn't coach defense. Do I have some confidence in Dennis Allen? Yes. There's a level of confidence in Dennis Allen. Is it on the same level as it is with Ben Johnson? That I think you're going to take those picks, all those picks I just racked off, and go get 4 or 5 guys that are going to come in here and impact winning the way those 4 guys did last year? No, I don't expect that. I don't expect that any year from a draft class. So, again, I left this hour open for you, the Bears fan, the Score listener, because I got to know if I'm the only one. if I'm the only one who feels, as you listen to the narrative and the chatter around the Bears in the first 2 weeks of free agency, as you read stuff like free agency grades that have been given out over the course of the first 2 weeks of free agency that seem to think the Bears did a really good job, am I taking crazy pills or a lot of other people drinking that Bears Kool-Aid? 312-644-6767. I want to hear from you. I want to take your calls. I want to read your text. Coming up next, it is Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show on a Friday night on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Rami Makhlouf on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
It's always tough leaving, you know, Seattle. Just what I've built, what we've built for the last 2 years with Coach Mike, you know, all my brothers, you know, like I said, that was definitely the toughest thing about it, you know, leaving those guys. But just like you said with, you know, Keller Williams, just the special talent he is, the leader he is. He actually reached out to me. He was the first person to reach out to me when I did sign. And we were texting back and forth, you know, just catching up, getting to know each other and stuff like that. And just, you know, telling him we, you know, we could build, and you know, just going off of that, and you know, just for him reaching out to me meant a lot, honestly. You know, with me playing safety, him being quarterback, and you know, him recognizing my game and vice versa. Elite talent. He's just scratching the surface, honestly. Like I said in the press conference last week, I'm excited to, you know, watch him play and watch him be great this year for sure.
That was Kobe Bryant with Kay Adams on Up and Adams. I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 9 o'clock, talking some Bears with you right now. And I like the Kobe Bryant signing. I do. I just wish it was also along with the Kevin Byard or at least a Jaquan Brisker signing and bringing one of those two guys back. And I'm asking you, because a lot of the buzz, a lot of the chatter, a lot of the narrative around Bears free agency through the first 2 weeks seems pretty positive. A's and B's and all the grades that I've seen for what the Bears have done to this point in free agency. And I feel like either I'm taking crazy pills or a lot of people are drinking the Bears Kool-Aid, because I see a lot more holes opened up than I see holes plugged. And I know there's much more offseason to plug those holes, but you got weaker at center. You got weaker at left tackle. You got weaker in your depth at wide receiver. You got weaker at cornerback and your depth there. You got weaker at safety even with the signing of Kobe Bryant. And you've done nothing of substance to address the biggest problem for this team, which was no pass rush. Am I crazy? Or has this offseason not been as good as a lot of people seem to think it has been so far? 312-644-6767. Want to hear from you guys. Whole first hour is open if you are so inclined to give me a call or shoot me a text at 312-644-6767. Let's go right out to those phones. Let's go right out to Rick, who's listening in crystal clear FM quality right here in Chicago. Rick, you're on the Score. What you got, buddy? What is going on with Rick? He's on repeat. Let me try, while we figure out what's going on with Rick, let me try Kurt, who's in Edison Park. Kurt, you're on the Score. Kurt, am I taking crazy pills, or is everybody drinking the Kool-Aid?
It's a little bit of both there. Okay. First of all, long-time listener. Love the show.
Thank you.
We got too much money that's about to be shelled out in probably the next 3-4 years. Poles is just thinking ahead. I agree, we need that pass rush. We want that pass rush. But are we shelling out picks for Crosby? Nah, he's not doing that. Is he bringing in someone else? He's obviously not spending the money on Henderson. So it's got to be through the draft. It's the only option. Thanks, boss. Love it. Love to hear your options.
And I hope he kills it in the draft. I really do. I hope he kills it in the draft. We're going to plug all these holes and get better this year. This year. I'm talking about 2026.
Yeah.
The Bears are going to...
He's not getting it all in 2026.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You're not going to fix all that in one draft in 2026. And the big-time free agents, the difference makers, the known commodities are gone. They've been signed somewhere now. You're getting other people's like leftovers and scraps at this point. You're taking guys off the scrap heap. This texter from the 219 says, Robbie, I'm freaking out, LOL. Concerns, issues have not been addressed. Major positions, onus from the blind side, and the season could be over. My concerns are more on defense. Not that I don't have concerns about the downgrades on offense, and that's the only thing that's happened on offense is downgrades. You know what? I'm going to inject a little optimism and a little positivity here. They've gotten better on special teams. I'll say they've gotten better on special teams. All right? And I'm not so concerned about offense because you have Ben Johnson. And I think Ben Johnson can sort of coach around or coach up some of the problems, specifically at left tackle. Because we got to remember, left tackle was a problem for most of last year. Before Ozzie Trapillo figured out playing that position, because he was a right tackle in college, and he was playing it at a higher level going from college to the NFL. Until Ozzie Trapillo figured it out, you had Braxton Jones, you tried Theo Benedet, and it wasn't good, but Caleb Williams wasn't getting killed, and it was the offense was top 10 in most categories that you can look at. So I'm confident that Ben Johnson can coach around or coach up some of the deficiencies and downgrades that have happened on offense. I don't want to keep asking him to do that. I would like them to get better at a few positions, but I'm not freaking out about that as much as I am about the defense. A couple texts have come in. How about stopping the run better from the 815? Also, different number from the 815, but you can't rely on those interceptions. I understand that. So what did they do to address either of those things? As I said in the first segment, I read the breakdown from PFF that says Kobe Bryant is a worse tackler, significantly worse tackler than what Kevin Byard was. And, oh, yeah, we don't know who's playing opposite Kevin Byard at the other safety position. So how do we stop the run? How do we stop the run? And what are you doing to – like, if you don't want to rely on interceptions, and I don't think you can rely on interceptions, that same texter says, but I think he can close faster. Close faster all you want. If you can't tackle – or if you're not as effective a tackler as the guy that you're replacing, closing fast don't really matter. Like, you can get there. You got the one of the objectives of football, especially on defense, is bringing the runner to the ground, bringing the ball carrier to the ground. Close all you want. Get to the spot fast all you want. Are you completing the play, and are you getting that guy to the ground? And the data says he's not doing it, at least not as reliable, as consistently as Kevin Byard was. So you've done nothing about the pass rush. You've made, like, nominal moves with the interior of the defensive line in terms of stopping the run better. Like, whatever you're losing, if you don't think you can rely on interceptions and turnovers to the degree that you did last year, and I don't think you can, you got to do other things better, and they haven't done anything to get better at those other things. I've only had one guy, like, agree with me so far on the phones, and I'm already, like, talking myself into a tizzy here and getting all worked. Like, I'm sweating right now just thinking about this. Let's go to Tommy in Chicago. He dialed 312-644-6767. Now Tommy's on the score. What's up, Tom?
Hey, man, how's it going? Poles and the Bears, they went cheap this offseason. I'm an NFL fan. I'm not a Bears fan. I'm just an NFL guy. And they went cheap. And going cheap in the NFL usually gets you 4 to 6 wins. And I never really thought Poles was a good GM. He only has 5 wins in the North in 4 years. And I think he's carried by Ben Johnson. And in my opinion, Poles has one more losing season. He's probably getting canned, and the Bears are over. What do you think?
I appreciate the call, Tommy. I don't know that I can say cheap. I mean, there's a salary cap, and they've spent most of that money under the salary cap. According to what I'm looking at right now, they have a little over $1 million in cap space. The number I heard Spiegel and Holmes say on my way in was $200,000 in cap space. I don't know which one is accurate or closer, but either way, it's not a lot of money. So I don't know that we can say cheap. But we can say maybe not using that money as wisely as you could. And when the season first started, or the offseason first started, I read multiple places that the Bears could restructure this contract and extend this guy and renegotiate that and open up to $80 million in cap space was the number that I heard. When are they going to do that? And why didn't they do that before this first wave of free agency where you could go and get guys that are difference makers and known commodities in the NFL at the NFL level? Let me get one more call in before the break. It's Steven in Oak Park. Steven, you're on the score. It says here on my call screener, you want to talk me off the ledge. Please do, my friend.
I am going to talk you down. So here's why. We've got a bunch of defensive line reinforcements that we didn't see a lot of last year. We drafted Shamar Turner, didn't play a lot. We saw Booker Flash, got hurt, played some, did awesome in spots. And we got Dio, who we paid a bunch of money to from the Colts, who didn't see the field at all. So there's a bunch of reinforcements coming in that I have to assume that the defensive staff feels good about. Otherwise, they, to your point, they would have made more of a concerted effort. So I think they feel good about what's there. You've got a first and a second that you can spend on defensive help as well. So I think there's some reinforcements coming. They're unknowns, yes, but you're also not paying in draft picks and mortgaging the future and overpaying. You've got guys that you've already paid that owe you, if you want to put it that way. You know what I mean?
I do. Thanks for the call. I'm sorry. What I saw from Deo Odengbo last year, not encouraging. That didn't do a whole, like, and I don't mean to come down too hard on a guy who suffered a season-ending injury. He didn't get to put together the whole 17-game resume, but I didn't love what I saw from him. And if you're telling me, like, these guys that they brought in, like Neville Gallimore and Kentavious Street and James Lynch are more of the flyer type of guys. Like, we just took a flyer on this guy and we see something there. He's got tools. He's a Dennis Allen type of guy. Like, maybe they'll surprise me. And they did last year with Nashawn Wright and CJ Gardner-Johnson. Maybe Ryan Poles, with the help of Dennis Allen and Ben Johnson, sort of have cracked the code on what to look for to get better performance from, you know, lesser known commodities and not as well paid free agents. Maybe. I don't know. But all I can go on today off what's on paper for the Chicago Bears versus what was on paper when the season ended in Los Angeles in the divisional round of the playoffs, it looks like they've gotten worse more than they've gotten better, and at more spots than they've gotten better. I'm going to switch to some Cubs talk at 7 o'clock, but text line is blowing up. I see a bunch of you on hold that want to talk about this, so I'll keep this Bears talk going for one more segment with you. I am Rami Makhlouf. Am I taking crazy pills when I say I'm not thrilled with what I've seen in the first 2 weeks of free agency, or are a lot of other people drinking that Bears Kool-Aid? 312-644-6767. It's the Score Evening Show, and back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Like on the season you had last year, what really clicked for you last season?
I was just playing football, doing what I've always been doing. Nothing really changed. I didn't change anything in the offseason. I didn't change anything during the season. I kind of just stuck to my routine and went out there and executed.
That's Devin Bush, new Bears linebacker. Maybe the one, like, concrete upgrade that they've made so far this offseason. And that's, look, man, Tremaine Edmonds wasn't bad last year. That's a minor upgrade, at best, at linebacker. And I think they've gotten worse in a lot of other places on the field. And yet, I listen to things, I read things, I watch things, and it seems really positive when it comes to the Chicago Bears and what's happened in the first 2 weeks of free agency, and I just don't feel that way. And I'm asking, am I the one taking crazy pills, or are there a lot of people drinking that Kool-Aid? 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the conversation. Got a few more minutes here. Want to squeeze in a few more of your calls, a few more of your texts, and we're going to get into some Cubs in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, including a visit from Evan Altman of Cubs Insider, and Bruce Levine will be here at 8. But let's get to some of your calls, some of your texts on those Chicago Bears and the way that this offseason has gone so far at 312-644-6767. Let's try Rick in Chicago. Rick, you're on the Score. How do you feel about these first 2 weeks of free agency, this first wave?
I'm positive about it. I think you are taking crazy pills because okay. I'm 78 years old, okay? I'd be willing to say I've seen a lot of bad Bear teams over the years. bad general managers, bad coaches. But I think Ben Johnson's got something to do with the defense too. And I think he's going to be part of the draft thing. And I think I have it right. Out of the first 90 picks in the draft, the Bears have 4 picks. Is that right?
Let me confirm. I think you're close. Let me just confirm that. I have all their, they have 25, 57, 60, and 89. So yeah, 4 picks in the top 90.
Okay. So those are 4 good. If you pick them right, there's going to be 4 good players. And as far as the guys they got in free agency, the defensive back from Seattle, mm-hmm. right?
Kobe,
right?
Yep.
He was on what was considered the best defense in the league, okay? The linebacker that they picked up is fast, where the other linebacker that we don't have anymore, plus it was taking way too much money, and he isn't fast. And I've got confidence that they're going to get – and as far as the defensive line goes, if they can draft in the first pick a can't-miss pass rusher, that's going to solve a lot of problems because that's going to open up the stuff for the other guys on the other side of the line.
Rick, I appreciate the call, man. Great stuff. You make some great points. And – That is a lot of draft capital that the Bears have. I just don't know that we can count on that coming in and making the type of impact we all think that it can make. I think a lot of us are looking at last year and what you got from 4 draft picks and thinking, well, you'll just get that again this year on the other side of the ball. And you can't do that. I mean, you can't. We shouldn't have expected that last year, but we had Ben Johnson, and we found out Ben Johnson can work some magic. Ben Johnson doesn't coach the defense. And even if you had a Ben Johnson level coach on defense, which I like Dennis Allen, I just don't think he's that elite in terms of spotting guys that fit his system and coaching them up to get the most out of them. Not to that level. You still shouldn't expect 4 guys to come in and make that kind of difference. All I'm saying is this first wave of free agency, and this is one of the points I started with, is your best opportunity to get known commodities, of guys that have done it at the NFL level. And you don't get lights out pass rushers late in the first round or later than that, or at least you rarely get lights out pass rushers late in the first round or even later in the draft than that. Like, are there guys that are like diamonds in the rough and are great pass rushers in this league who weren't taken in the first 20 picks? Yes, I'm sure the league is peppered with them all over the place. I'm sure of that. But you can't count on that. The best pass rushers, like the guys who everybody thinks is a can't miss, game changing, game wrecking pass rusher. As far as, like, in terms of the scouting process leading up to the draft, guys who aren't going to come in and surprise, they're gone by 25. They're gone because that's a premium position, man. Everybody in the league is looking for one of those guys. And so I don't think you can count on that. I don't think you can count on that in any draft class, and the Bears are picking lower than they've picked here in recent memory. Couple people pointing out the Bears are broke. This texter from the 219 says, rumor is the Bears are broke. No money for the left tackle. This texter from the 773 says, the Bears didn't do jack because they're broke. They ain't got no money. You could tell when the Max Crosby thing fell apart. They didn't go after anybody. This texter from the 815, isn't the problem the cap? They don't have the cap space to go break the bank. A, that's an indictment on Ryan Poles that you're in this cap spot in the midst of a rookie QB contract window. And B, the salary cap isn't real. There's always a way around that. There's almost always a way around that. And again, I read multiple places when this offseason was getting started that they could have restructured some contracts and extended some guys and renegotiated some stuff that would have opened up to $80 million in cap space. Haven't done it. Have not done that. One more call. It's going to be Aaron, who's calling from work. I hope you're not getting in trouble. Aaron, you're on the score. How are you feeling about this first wave of free agency for the Bears?
Well, sir, I'm a truck driver, so I don't care if I get in trouble or not. Ain't nobody trying to deliver no loads. So
all right.
I can't get in trouble.
Okay, good.
But thank you, sir. But, you know, I grew up in a Baptist church, and they used to say, look at your neighbor and say, amen. I'm with you, brother. Amen on everything you just said. Because you're not taking crazy pills. You're calling it right. And it's Chicago Bears fans who just want to believe that everything is good and going off of last year, that's not seeing exactly what's happening, because you're absolutely right. Everything that you just mentioned is another reason why Brian Poles should not have this job, because you're not supposed to be in this cap hit. And when has he ever showed you that he even knows how to evaluate a three technique tackle? It took him 4 years to address the offensive line. And when he did it, I mean, Stevie Wonder knew that he had guys that had been in the league for 7 years that showed you something. So he really didn't do anything great last year. And everybody's going, well, we got this draft capital. Like you just said, the best pass rushers are not going to be there at 25. So you're 100% right. You're 200% right. And I don't trust Ben Johnson that much. I'm not a big Ben Johnson fan. We had a great year last year. We're going to find out how good of a coach he is this year when we go up against, tougher talent. But you're right. You're 100% right that we have gotten bad. We've gotten worse, because all these guys that people are calling in about, they got ran on in the first 4 or 5 weeks last year before they started getting hurt.
Yep.
Go back and look at the tape. They were getting blown off the line before they got injured.
Yep.
So are we supposed to believe he gave this guy Diet Dumbo all his money? He was never worth $16 million a year.
Hey, man, I appreciate the call. We got to get to a commercial break here. But yeah, man, I do. It is kind of crazy to me how one good year has fostered so much faith and belief in Ryan Poles and the Bears as an organization. I'll disagree with that, what that caller said about Ben Johnson. He earned a lot of trust and a lot of faith and a lot of confidence for me in his first year as head coach. Really liked what I saw from Ben Johnson on a number of levels. Like all the things you ask a coach to do, he pretty much checked off those boxes. Ryan Poles, to me, jury's still out. And it's wild to me how 1 year of success, 11 wins and a couple of playoff wins, after 3 years of bad football and bad GMing, how many people are just like blind faith, blind trust in this guy and in the Bears as an organization? I can't go there. I can't. I'm sorry. And 6 months left in the offseason, I hope something happens to change my mind. But as we sit here on March 20th, I think the Bears have gotten a little bit worse than what they were when the season ended. Hit a quick break on the other side. Let's get into some Cubs, some baseball talk. We'll do that right after this. It is Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.